Hello. Today, we have an exciting conversation with a friend from Texas in the USA. He explores different cultures around the world on his YouTube channel. We have four different parts. First, meeting Joseph. Then, his home state in America of Texas. Part three is Joseph's amazing experiences in the small communities and villages of Southeast Asia. Part four is his work at Yellowstone National Park in America and his job as a tour guide and the super volcano there. Sometimes it is at 0.9 speed to help you understand. Remember, you can change the speed on Spotify, YouTube, Castbox, etc. Okay, enjoy! Part 1. Hello everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Simple English Listening. Intermediate English Listening, where we can learn English and also learn about the wider world at the same time. Okay, hello, Joseph.
Hi, nice to have you over.
Indeed, we're around his lovely house right now, in which he invited me. We're in a room full of many different ornaments, so small little pictures and books and a nutcracker and puppets.
And my favorite Christmas present of all time. Do you see what it is?
Indeed. It's a meditating Donald Trump made of porcelain.
Not only that.
Is it not?
It is, yeah. But it's a...
Oh, wow. And it is an ashtray.
Incense holder. Yeah, so when you light the incense, smoke comes out of his head.
So the incense sticks comes out of the top of his head.
It's Trump as Buddha. So it's Buddha, but with Trump's face.
Yeah, and where did you get such a divine piece of
I got it from
porcelain?
A guy here in Vietnam who also has a very good sense of humor, and I laugh at it every time I look at it.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll ever see Trump in Buddhist robes meditating.
I don't know if Trump can even sit lotus style. Yeah,
that's true. But he'd be drinking his Coca-Cola
right,
at the same time.
Diet Coke.
Donald Trump apparently has 5 cans of Coke per day, as does Warren Buffett. And they both start, so I've heard. I'm not sure this is true, but I've heard from multiple sources about Warren Buffett. And he has a McDonald's breakfast most mornings.
That's not too bad, though. McDonald's has a pretty good breakfast, man.
Yeah.
That's one thing about Vietnam that is pretty sad. Burger King and McDonald's, they don't have the breakfast menu.
Yeah.
Because breakfast in Vietnam is like hot noodle soup or sticky rice or things that we would not consider breakfast.
Before we properly start, because we're just chatting nonsense right now, as you can see, but... If you enjoy our efforts to help you learn English, feel free to subscribe, hit the bell, or leave a review on Spotify or Apple so more people can find us and enjoy these learnings. And Joseph's links of his awesome YouTube channel and his other links are in the description at the bottom of this video. So you...
First of all, cheers.
Cheers, indeed. So today we're drinking Budweiser, King of Beers.
King of Beers.
This is a classic American beer, I feel. And I'm next to an American gentleman.
That's why I got these, man.
Yeah. Part 2, Texas, cowboys, and line dancing. Where are you from in the good old US of A?
I'm from Texas. And all the stereotypes are true. So anytime somebody tries to tell you, oh, I'm from Texas, but it's not like what you hear about. No, it's exactly like what you hear about.
Yeah. On the front of people's cars, you have the two horns.
Two horns. And on the back of people's Cadillacs. Trucks, there are two balls hanging. I don't know if you've seen those, the balls hanging.
Yeah, those are bull's balls.
Yep.
That's awesome. Right. Yeah, I knew you were from the like the middle of America. I guess the Texas, the Bible Belt, right?
Yep. Yeah. Definitely.
And the people are, so I hear, well, statistically, the widest people on Earth outside of the Polynesian islands.
Everything is bigger in Texas. Yeah.
I heard that San Antonio is, in fact, the widest city on Earth, followed by Dallas.
Really?
Indeed, indeed.
Oh, I don't know. I thought Houston was the fattest city in America.
And cowboy hats. Is there lion dancing? Is that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I grew up line dancing. It's like at big events, big parties. We call them hoedowns. Not really, but it's more of like something you teach kids. And then if there's a big party, like a wedding, maybe sometimes, or I think it's more of a countryside thing because like everyone will get together for the local
hoedowns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen the movie A Million Ways to Die in the West? Anyway, if you've seen A Million Ways to Die in the West, the party or the hoedown or the local where they go to a barn, they all dance, they do the line dance. That's exactly what it's like. I mean, it's more modern, but there are still places where you can go and you do that. I was just in Texas a couple months ago with my wife. It's her first time to go to America. We went to a cowboy bar. We did the Texas two-step. Mm-hmm. We did the country waltz.
Yeah. So what did your wife, who's Vietnamese?
Yes.
What was her impression of your fine state? They call it the Lone Star State.
Yep.
Is that Texas?
That's Texas. Yep. She loved it. She loved the cowboy bar. Whenever we're watching a movie or anything like that, if there's like a country western bar, she goes, oh, it's the White Elephant. It's just like the one that we went to, which if you've ever been to Texas or if you've ever heard of cowboy bars, the White Elephant in Fort Worth is like the cowboy bar. It's famous. It's they've got hats from every famous cowboy that there's ever been.
Fascinating small communities in Vietnam and Myanmar.
In his YouTube channel, Joseph explores different parts of Vietnam and he shows us parts of Vietnamese culture. Even as I've lived here for 7-8 years, but he shows us all kinds of things that many of us didn't know existed. And it gives us a new appreciation for all the different ethnicities and cultures. And so as he goes, he helps people cook and explore their local area and find different materials to do all kinds of things. You seem like such an explorer. And I always notice your cowboy hat in every episode.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's actually called a Panama hat. But a lot of people in Vietnam, they see a white guy, tall white guy, and they see the hat and they go, oh, cowboy, cowboy.
Oh, it's a great thrill. It's a novelty thrill for them because they've probably never seen a white man in a cowboy hat with an American accent.
That's for sure. Yeah. But I do have a cowboy hat. One of my most recent videos was about the culture, actually where I'm from in Texas, shaping hats and kind of the history of cowboy hats. And that's that one right over there. You can see.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. One of the cool things that I really like about Vietnam, some people get to experience it when they travel here, but it took me a long time, is Vietnam is not just Vietnamese people. It's, I don't know, 52 or 54 different ethnic groups. It's very ethnically diverse. And so you can go to one province and the landscape will look exactly the same as a different province, but the people there are completely different. The clothes they wear, the food they eat.
Yeah, like outside the big cities, people wear these more traditional ethnic clothes as their everyday clothing.
Oh, yeah. And their teeth, they chew this...
The betel nut.
Betel nut, yeah. And so they'll have like, you'll see like old ladies, and a betel nut is a drug.
Yeah.
Apparently, I've never done it, but so apparently
in Myanmar, like me and my friend Joey Carney, so in Myanmar, like all the streets are just red. People have been chewing it and they spit it out. And it stains the streets red.
Oh, my God.
So we were talking to these old dogs in Myanmar, and they gave us the leaf, the betel nut. And so me and Joey had it. And, it's a stimulant. It's like coffee times three, but you don't get jitters. You don't, like, shake and feel weird and anxious like coffee. You just energize.
Did you like it?
Well, actually, I tried to find some more the next day, but I couldn't find any.
Yeah, the only time I've been offered is like, also one of the things about going to these countryside places is these mountain people in Vietnam, they drink a lot, and they drink, you know, I'm not criticizing them, but they'll wake up, drink. They drink the wine, you know, I mean, they're hard workers. I mean, they're farmers and some foragers and things like that. But they drink wine, their rice wine or whatever wine in the morning. They'll drink it at lunch. And then they get super drunk at night. So as a foreigner, when I go there, they want to get me really drunk. And then oftentimes whenever they offer me that betel nut, it's when I've been drinking. And I'm like... Is this going to make me like, whoa, crazy, like sick or
chatting complete?
No, nonsense, I'm like a maniac. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to get like spinning and who knows. And, you know, like they don't, if I get like that, they don't care. They're like, got him.
It's a thrill for them.
Yeah. Got him.
Got him.
Yeah.
So it's different kinds of, homemade rice wines.
I want to say two more things actually about the betel nut, if I can. One funny thing about it is the people that do it mostly are old women. And so
they have these red teeth.
Or even black teeth.
Black teeth.
If they've been doing it for a long time. It
badly affects the teeth. Kind of literally looks like a crackhead's teeth.
Or like whenever you go to a picture and you put Sharpie over the people's teeth. That's exactly what it looked like. Really, like
like a demon,
like a cartoon. Yeah, like a demon,
like a cartoon demon.
It's kind of weird because where do you go in the world where it's always just like old women doing drugs?
But they, as well, don't see it as drugs.
No,
right? It's it has a whole different place in their culture.
Right,
it's not like a social. It helps people open up and socialize with each other.
Yeah.
Just like alcohol. Do they have the neck rings?
I've never seen that.
So in Myanmar and some parts of Thailand, women put rings around their neck, types of metal, and this elongates, makes their necks longer. And some people, their necks are so long that they cannot take the rings off. If they take the rings off their neck, then their neck would just simply break.
Because it's not strong enough to hold their head.
Have
you seen that?
I've seen it. Yeah, for sure. I've seen it in Thailand and I've seen it in Myanmar, but I haven't seen it. And they also have red teeth from the betel nut. Long necks and red teeth. So it's quite a distinctive look, as you can imagine. Wow.
I would love to have a video of them adding rings. Because they slowly add them, right?
Yeah, like that's the thing. I think it happens in spaces of maybe 1 year or a couple of years because your neck has to adjust.
Or of course,
otherwise, your head would just pop off.
Like braces.
Yeah,
like braces on your teeth. What
inspired you to start your channel, which has become such a big part of your life?
Yeah.
And it's just recently people have started to pick up on it in Vietnam. And Vietnamese people, I'm sure, like it because you put Vietnam onto the world stage, picking up these small niche parts of the culture.
Well, when I came here to Vietnam, I still am in very small amounts. I'm a teacher, and I was a teacher most of my time. Now I'm just a private tutor sometimes, but I kind of just sat down and thought about my life. And I was thinking, what is something that I love? Because I like teaching, but I don't love teaching. It dawned on me that I love learning. So I've been a teacher in many different aspects of my life.
Yellowstone National Park and super volcanoes.
So when I lived in America, I lived in Yellowstone National Park. Are you familiar with that?
Am I familiar with that?
Have you been?
No, but I'm a big fan of Yellowstone National Park in that. So they say that there's every like 20, 30, 40, 50,000 years.
600,000.
Okay, well, we have a super volcano.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they thought the Yellowstone National Park, they were like, there is a super volcano possibly somewhere in this park. And then at some point, scientists found that the whole park, which is so big it can be seen from space, right?
Yeah.
The whole park is in fact slowly lifting up, yes. So I hear.
Yes.
And in fact, the whole park is one big volcano waiting to go kabang one day and erupt, explode. And so the stories say, if that were to be the case, like a third of the world would be covered in ash and we'd be go into a nuclear winter.
Volcanic winter.
Volcanic winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For 10 or maybe even 100 or maybe even 1,000 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people might survive. And there's been crazy natural events like that where the human race has been able to survive in some way, shape or form. But probably not. Like many, most species die forever. And there's geysers there.
Geysers.
Geyser. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of geysers. They're the park rangers. A lot of the older ones, we call them geysers. Sorry, the park rangers. I love you guys.
So a geyser, I mispronounced geyser. A geyser is actually slang for like an annoying older man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the geysers are like they shoot this extremely hot water, and there's lots of natural baths.
Hot springs. They're not baths.
Okay.
You cannot get in them.
And if you were to get in them,
you would die.
Okay.
Yeah, so. you would melt. Your skin would melt off, and you would
be
because there's sulfuric acid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Yellowstone has 2/3 of the world's geysers. So 66% of all the geysers in the world are in this one national park. It's amazing. The way I got into teaching and doing my videos is I was a tour guide in Yellowstone. So I actually took tours.
Because there is a certain professionalism in your videos. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you carry people through the stories is kind of what a tour guide would say, because they're very accessible and your content is very easy to follow, I would say.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. What you learn as a tour guide, you know, because you're not a geologist, you're not a historian, you're not a biologist, but you're giving people geology, history, and biology, and more, even climate and all of these things, because the park is so expansive. But what you learn as a tour guide is how to take this boring, scientific, academic info and give it to people who don't have years and years to learn it. They have a few hours on a tour. And that's why they call it an interpretive guide, because you're taking this and it's like feeding through you going to them. You're interpreting the information mm-hmm. for people. And that's what I feel like I'm doing in Vietnam too. I mean, when I came here, I was hoping that somebody would do that for me. That's what I was looking for, because there's so much history and there's so much culture and different things in Vietnam, but there's almost no resources in English to learn about history.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Like it's not really accessible for the average person. And there's all these, I mean, Vietnam is a country of like over like 95 million people. And it's an ancient civilization.
It's the 20th most spoken language in the world.
Yeah.
Or maybe more now.
But even the expats here, let alone the backpackers and travelers, they only see like a small slice of Vietnam.
And all of them see the same slice.
Yeah.
You know, they go to the Temple of Literature.
Yeah.
They go to eat pho, which, I mean, those are great things. I'm not knocking those things. Those are fantastic things. And if you have 2 days in Hanoi, do that. But I live here, and so I can't just keep going to those places over and like reading the same three plaques.
Yeah.
I can't find any books about this stuff.
Even our friends, like, they'll go to the same places again and again, because outside of those places, there's like, it's impossible to function or get around or anything.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
You honestly, I have a couple advantages to be able to do this. Is I speak the language. I would say like a 5-year-old, maybe. Probably not even that good, but I really attempt it. And especially where I'm going, the people there, as I mentioned before, they're not Vietnamese. They're Vietnamese citizens, but they're not ethnically Vietnamese. They're Thai or Tay or Hmong or whatever people. And they also know Vietnamese as a second language.
I see.
And so we're both speaking a second language. So they speak a slower, and they don't have a huge vocabulary like me. They know what a learner of the language is going to say. They know the basic phrases. And so actually, when I go to the countryside, even though they might not be the most educated people, they might not be the most well-spoken people, or even they might not have ever even met a foreigner before, but I can communicate with them really easily.
And I'm sure they have all kinds of like ancient wisdom, you know, that like the kind of globalized, like so-called educated system doesn't really pick up on.
That's funny you say that, because some people might find this strange, but I love the weird alternate history type things, like, you know, who really built the pyramids?
You're saying, fascinating.
Love that stuff.
Yeah.
Love that stuff.
Who really built the pyramids?
And Atlantis? Or was there an intelligent human civilization here before our civilization? What evidence is there around the world, and what evidence can be found in small communities around Southeast Asia, or of earlier intelligences on planet Earth? All of these questions will be answered in the second part of this conversation with Joseph. This conversation took a very interesting turn indeed. Okay, have an incredible week, everyone, and see you next time.